Look, if God really wants the highest level of pleasure, where does it come from, sweetheart? Strong faith or little faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The highest level of faith is in Hebrews 11. These died having not received the promise. What if God is exercising our faith right now in a way that we have no idea what we're going to experience in our lifetime? What if you and I will remember that we held on through all that the Antichrist could bring at us in our personal life and getting me to New Zealand, but the whole thing was that we were being trained to get to heaven because God knows there's something horrible coming in our lifetime. Within the next 40 years, we're going to see something so horrible that it's going to take every bit of faith. It'll be so strong of a delusion that even the elect could be deceived if it's possible. Wherever you look, no matter whose story we look at, whether it's Brother Yun's, Gladys Aylward, John Bunyan, John Wesley, Adoniram, Judson, they all face these terrible roadblocks that are more than just roadblocks. Oftentimes it's a outright antagonism and intent to stop and destroy the work, right?
Yeah.
And as you're pointing out in the beginning of Gladys's story, everything looked like it was a bit easier. God's answering her prayers a little bit faster. It's hard to say. We don't really know because we're looking at a cartoon story and then a Hollywood movie of her life.
Yeah.
We'd have to read her book to see. But that does seem to be a pattern that God holds to through a lot of his workers, where it's the point and the beginning of establishing faith in God. God is proving himself faithful, and then he withdraws as time goes. It's the effect of increasing the weight on the bar.
Yeah.
So now we've proved that you can get under the weight, that you can push it up, and you know you have the strength to do it. Now we're going to increase the weight because God wants more faith.
Yeah.
If God gives us faith, which the Bible says it is impossible to please him without, and the only way for God to keep our faith is for him to come through for us quickly and often all the time, you can see how that's God having to constantly do what Jesus was complaining about. You people will never believe unless you see miracles. It is an adulterous generation that asks for a sign. You see Jesus telling Thomas, of course you believe, you've seen. He doesn't say, blessed are you. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and believed. That gives us a clue as to how important it is to the Father that faith be the evidence of things not seen. Being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Hebrews 11:1, right? Obviously, the stronger faith is a faith that can believe longer without any evidence to support the thing that you're believing God for.
Mm-hmm.
The stronger the faith, the longer period of time you can hold on with a deprivation of encouraging circumstances telling you this is going to happen, okay? Also, the stronger the faith, the more it's able to hold on when not only more time passes and a lack of good, positive providential circumstances confirming the thing you believe in happens, but also it can hold on in the face of circumstances that completely contradict the thing. So the stronger the faith, the more it can look at circumstances that contradict the promise that you believe you have from God, and it's able to continue to hold the position because it has been exercised.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, rewind the tape. You have faith. You pray. God answers almost immediately. that is really not strong faith at all. Do you understand how if every single time a child asks a question about the schoolwork, you just answer them and you don't teach them how to find the answer themselves? Give a man a fish, feed him for the day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. If you don't teach them how to go find the answer, they're not actually developing learning skills. They're not developing, if every time a child came to you and says, here's the problem I'm having, and you just solved it for them, they're not developing life problem-solving skill sets. So if you apply that to the thinking of God and faith, you can see that for some reason, I don't understand it. I don't understand the gospel. I don't understand Jesus dying on the cross. We talked about it yesterday. I cannot get my head around how big of a deal it is that Jesus Christ suffered so brutally for our sins on the cross. I cannot get my head around it. Mm. I cannot fully feel and understand the pain, the suffering, the tragedy, the humility, the cost. I just can't get my head around it. The motivation to do it. Well, it's the same thing with faith. I don't know why God is so pleased when you and I are sitting here right now in this moment. We're here because of faith. We're not here because we picked one day vacation Russian roulette and the pointer pointed to Cocoa Beach, Florida. Let's just go there and have a good time.
Mm.
We're here because we've walked by faith into a command of God and believed him for a promise that has yet to come to pass. But for some reason, God is pleased when we are in a position of faith, being sure of what we hope for. Hope for who hopes for what he already has. And certain of what we do not see. Look, if God really wants the highest level of pleasure, where does it come from, sweetheart? Strong faith or little faith?
Hmm.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The highest level of faith is in Hebrews 11. These died having not received the promise. Yet they held on in faith. They were believing when they died. For some reason, again, I'm not going to try to understand it, God appears to be the most pleased with his children when they are walking in an atmosphere of faith. And God appears to be more pleased when there is more faith. I don't know why. I don't know why this is so important to him. I can't understand it. I have some conjecturing, but it's only human conjecturing. So, if God created us in Isaiah and in Revelation for his pleasure and his glory, the pleasure part comes from where? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
That tells us with faith, we are pleasing to God,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased. There it is. So if God creates us to please himself, and he wants as much pleasure as he can get out of us. For example, do you want more pleasure in your marriage or less? From being married to me.
No.
Same with me, right? So we work hard on trying to keep short accounts, making sure that we do little lovey things to each other, making sure we're speaking to each other in our love languages. That's what's important to us as humans.
Mm-hmm.
The love language of God is faith and obedience. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I get it. If God wants more pleasure from one of his children, he's going to have them have greater faith. And greater faith comes from greater contradictions and greater periods of time. I maybe haven't been walking in faith as long as somebody like a Brother Yun or John Wesley, but I have been walking in that full level of faith where you lean not to your own understanding, you abandon human reasoning, and you do what everybody else around you says is stupid. Since 2010, when God first challenged me to fire my attorney and to obey him, when I first cried out to him and said, "What do you say about this situation? What would you order me to do in this situation?" So, you know, this is now 14 years, right? And I mean, it could be taken back a little bit because 2009 is when I give the full surrender.
Yeah.
And I invite him to do with me as he sees fit,
mm-hmm.
right? And I start moving in that direction. But the first huge act of obedience requiring faith is to fire the attorney and to really let Carrie go as she sees fit to do so, type of thing. So we're 15 years, you know, from 2009, 14 years from 2010. That's a long time
mm-hmm.
for the amount of volume of things I've experienced.
Yeah.
So my faith is strong. Do I believe God? Yes or no? I have a strong faith. I don't have faith in faith. I don't believe that I can, my faith can move God to do something that he hasn't planned to do. But I have a pretty strong faith in God, having seen him come through in so many different ways. I mean, goodness gracious, it's incredible what I've seen, right? And you now too.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes logical sense to me that God, knowing that I have a strong faith in him and that I'm willing to wait years, 2 years to deliver me in the 777 divorce, right? And then several years through my parents and, you know, several years with Persis and all these difficult things that God has brought me through. It just makes absolute sense that God would put us in a situation where our faith would be tested at the highest level. I mean, let's face it, almost anybody can hold on for a few weeks or a few months and maybe even for a few years. When you start talking about holding on for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 mm-hmm. years, for 20 years, now you're talking about a faith that if you were God, that would be the highest pleasure you could receive, would be to see one of your servants, one of your children, hang in there for that long,
mm-hmm.
still believing you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're God and you're pleased not by necessarily the moment where faith receives the object of its faith, in other words, I've had to answer their prayers. But if you just pretend you're God for a minute, not in any blasphemous way, but look down at your creatures who are invisibly crying out to you. They cannot see you, cannot prove you. And no matter how much you allow your enemy to strike them, to disappoint them, to delay them, to put them into despair, if you will, and you allow them to think you're coming through for them over and over and over, and yet you do not. And you're standing here watching this. Will they still hold on?
Mm.
Will they still hold on? Will they still believe? And you see them wrestling to believe. You see them crying out to you. Not 3 weeks, not 3 months, 3 years for the same thing. They're still crying out to you. They're still believing. And you're looking at this and Satan is saying, "Ah, give me one more chance to hit him with this, hit him with that, but touch this, but delay this, but, you know, put in this unmet expectation and give them this excitement." What if God is so pleased by faith that he is allowing Satan to really have a mighty go at us to see if he can shake us free?
Mm.
And God has said to him, "They will hold on no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you tempt them, no matter how you tease them, no matter how you turn it around, no matter what you steal from them, no matter how much hope you give them and then yank it away. These people are sold out to me. These are people of true faith. They love me. And no matter what I allow you to do to them, they will not curse me to their face. They will not give up. They will not shrink back. This is what it means to be a lover of God, to be a Christian. You watch. Oh yeah, you can test them for 3 weeks. You can test them for 3 months. I'm going to give you 3 years. I'm going to let you get them higher than a kite and crash land them. I'm going to let you get them higher than a kite. I'm going to let you crash land them. I'm going to let you get them higher than a kite and crash land them. And you're never going to steal away the seed of faith. You're never going to rob me of the pleasure that I get from watching these two people hold on to me no matter what." If the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we see the only two things that Jesus Christ ever marveled at in the Bible was somebody's remarkable strong faith and remarkable weak faith. These are the only two things that he ever found remarkable, that he was astonished at their lack of faith of the disciples and of the high faith of the centurion and the Syrophoenician woman. God was amazed, not by, oh, look at their love, oh, look at their patience, oh, look at their holiness, oh, look at their good deeds. He was astonished at the high level of faith and at the low level of faith. What does that tell us? God's eye is primarily on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we know faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Of course, the whole Christian life is based on God's love for us and our returning of that love to Him. But that's true love lives in faith. True love sacrifices. True love believes. True love holds on. Faith is inspired by love. I believe that is the answer. I believe that for some reason, God is so pleased with faith, and that he allows Satan to test it, to sift it, to refine it, so that God can see, look, there's a faith that will hold on to me whether I give them good or not, whether I come through or not. They still have something below the surface of just having faith because I came through for them. They have faith in me. They have faith in the principle of my goodness. They have faith in the surety of my faithfulness. Regardless of what they see, regardless of what they feel, regardless of what I give, regardless of what I take away, regardless of how many times I let you strike them, I believe that when we are living in faith, and I have to be reminded of this, that's why I'm making this recording, to remind myself this morning, God is most pleased with faith. So you watch the Gladys Aylward thing and you think, wait a second, why did God make it so hard for these children? Why couldn't he have come through for them easier? Why 30 days out in the, you know, war-torn hill country of China and difficulty after difficulty? I mean, God, these are orphans. Why not be a little easier on them? And I said, but look at what he's going to do with these kids. He's raising them up to have a true faith in him. And true faith can only be a true faith and pleasing faith when circumstances and time are allowed to completely shut out the hope of the thing that you have faith for. You get it, right? I mean, this is what really pleases God. That the whole world is saying there is no God, there is no Jesus, this new Antichrist thing that comes out, this new space announcement, a new whatever announcements come out, and it wipes out faith, and yet you still hold on. Despite the world's greatest scientists, the world's greatest minds and astronomers and all these things coming out and saying, oh no, we now have proof of this alien life and this, that, and the other. Scientists have discovered this and we've now found the beginning of the universe and here's the Big Bang. Whatever it is they come up with, and we are still going to be holding on to what we believe in the Bible. I'm telling you, what if God is exercising our faith right now in a way that we have no idea what we're going to experience in our lifetime? What if you and I will remember that we held on through all that the Antichrist could bring at us in our personal life and getting me to New Zealand, but the whole thing was that we were being trained to get to heaven because God knows there's something horrible coming in our lifetime. Within the next 40 years, we're going to see something so horrible that it's going to take every bit of faith. It'll be so strong of a delusion that even the elect could be deceived if it's possible. And God knows that we had to be exercised at such a high level in faith to hold on to what he's going to allow Satan to do in this world. And we needed to be able to look others in the eyes and say, our God will come through. Our God is faithful. Our God is true. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you feel, you believe by faith, God will get us through in this. What if something like that's going to happen? What if God is exercising us to where you will be able to say, you don't understand, I've been to the very end of my faith where there was nothing left except for that which God gave me as a consolation gift, as part of his grace and mercy to me. I had nothing left, and yet I had something to keep me going. He kept me firm. He kept me going. And when I couldn't believe, he did. And we kept going, and eventually we saw God do the very thing that we believed him for in the beginning, that he made so difficult for us to wait for, and allowed Satan to crush all of our beliefs and hopes therein for so long. And it finally came to pass. Shall we now shrink back because we see an antichrist movement in the world and the counterfeit signs and miracles and wonders of Satan? Shall we now begin to doubt the God who we have seen come through for us when we already were blinded with the hopelessness of the impossibility of our situation and the length in which God drew it out? Think about all we've been through, unless you forget it. All the disappointments, all the hope so's that were just pulled right out from underneath of us like a rug out from under our feet. And then now suddenly put me in New Zealand. It happens. God does it. What does that do for your faith? Mm-hmm. How could you then fall away? No matter what you saw from Antichrist, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see people believing and turning away, how could you, after God comes through for us in this, how could you fall away then? You will have seen the absolute impossible, and you will have believed past the point of total blackness and hopelessness. Why is that not a good purpose for God to be doing what he's doing in our life? What if it's one of those things, John 13:7, you do not understand now what I am doing, later on, however, you will. What if something, as I have said back in 2019, something so horrible is going to come onto this world? There's going to be a massive departure from the faith. And what if it is so amazing, powerful? What if it is something to do with aliens, sweetheart? What if it is something to do with AI taking over? What if it is something to do with terrible antichrist agenda? Are we not going to need to have some unbelievably strong faith to get through based on what the Bible says? He's given power to make war against the saints and to prevail against them. You don't think those children needed to see God's faithfulness that can only be shown in difficult situations, knowing they were going to be growing up in communist China? Do you know about the boxing days in China? Do you remember about that? It's when they killed all the missionaries. People like Gladys Aylward, they suddenly killed almost all of them. You don't think they would need faith for that?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it all comes down to persistence and persevering and keeping our faith in him, not in our timing, but allowing God to do with us as he sees fit, allowing him to disappoint us, test us, try us, allow Satan to breathe his sulfuric apostate breath on our neck. And we have to just continue to persevere, sweetheart. This is exactly what the Christian life is about. In the end, the need to persevere. And you know how, do you take some encouragement when we watch these shows that I can say, wow, look at how much this is basically how God and Satan are dealing with us, right? When you see Gladys Aylward with all those children and they get to the first city and they're so thirsty and so hungry and the city turns them away.
Mm.
That feels so much like something we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.